We are going to study about creation tonight. We're going to study about eternity past. The title of this message is Eternity. Life in Eternity. Life in Eternity. That's the title of the message. Let's go back to Genesis 1 and 1. Genesis, the first chapter. Chapter 1, verse 1. We ruach Elohim, Merapacheth, El Panei Hamayim. It says here in one of the beginnings, Barashith, the Baith on the front of that is in, that's a preposition, page 88 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. And then Rosh, we means first or head. But the Tau on the end of this word is plural. So this is the Hebrew plural. It says, in one of the beginnings, he had created, third person masculine, singular, cal perfect, that is, this word bara. In beginnings, in one of the beginnings, he had created Elohim et, the heavens, the cosmos, the whole cosmos, the universe. And then it says here, we et ha'aretz. After he had created the whole cosmos, all the starry galaxies and everything out there, then he took the earth. We et ha'aretz. He took the earth and placed it in exactly the right place to support life. Now we're back in eternity past. We're not in space and time at all. We're in eternity past. Then it says here in verse number 2, we ha'aretz hathya tohu wabuhu. We hoshak el panei tohom. We ruah Elohim merpacheth el panei hamayim. It says, and the earth. We and ha the eretz, the earth. She had become formless and void. Formless and void. Tohu wabuhu. Formless and void, and then it says darkness, being upon the faces of the deep, of the abyss. And then it says, we ruah, it says Spirit God, and that is the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God began to suffer over, Merapacheth means to suffer over continually. That's a participle. It's a continuing thing. And that God suffered over the faces of the waters. And then we have here the beginning of this. We're going to have the recreation of the earth. God created in time past. He created something back there a long time ago in eternity past. And this something that he created, this universe that he created, became a havoc. Now what in the world happened? Go to John 1 and 1. Let's look at this. This is the oldest verse. What we call chronologically in the Bible, John 1 and 1. John 1 and verse 1. And it says in there, N-R-K, ein ho logos, kai ho logos, ein throstone theon, kai ho logos, ein ho logos. Back here it says, in beginning. This is singular beginning. That's locative singular feminine, that word RK there. In beginning, and then it says here, he kept on being. The word is ain, that's third person singular imperfect indicative active. To be verb in Greek. In beginning, he kept on being the whole logos there. The whole logos there is the word. Now, that is a Hebraism. It is not a Greek idea of the whole logos, the originator of all things. The logos here comes from the Greek word hadavar, which means the word, but it means more than that. After Exodus 20 and verse 7, it says, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain, for you will pay for it. You will not be forgiven. You will have to pay for what you've done. And that after they used that word, after Moses received that commandment, they never used the word Jehovah ever again, and we do not know how to say that word at all. We say Jehovah so easily, but we don't know how to say it. We don't know how to say that word at all. But they substituted the word havavar. So when John writes John 1 and 1, and in the Gospel of John, and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and in the book of Revelation, when he speaks of the word many places, he means the Jehovah. Now let's read this and translate it as it should be from the Hebraistic idea and from the Greek. In beginning, he kept on being the Jehovah, and the Jehovah, he kept on being toward the Father, or toward the God. Now here he talked about the word theon there, should be translated Father. It's talking about the Godhead. We're talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit here. It said that the word Jehovah kept on being in a separate part of the Godhead, and then the last part of this verse says, because God, he kept on being the Word. The God kept on being the Word. Now this word theos, ain hologos there. Hologos should be Jehovah. Hologos is Jehovah. So let's read this. And God kept on being the Word. It is a predicate nominative. The word theos there and hologos are one and the same number, gender, and case. They are the same person. Now, if you put ho theos in front of God there, you're not going to do any violence to Scripture because it's there anyway. It's a predicate nominative. The definite article behind it is describing it. So we can say ho theos ain ho logos. God, Jehovah, wasn't a God. He is the God of heaven. Now, here we have the oldest verse in the Bible, chronologically. And we also have, in eternity past, we have God created the heavens and the earth. And now let's see what happened to them. It says, Hathiah, and she had become formless and void. Now let's go back in Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, Isaiah, the 14th chapter, is a dual prophecy. It's talking about the king of Tyre and the king of Babylon in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. But primarily, it's talking about what happened in eternity past. Let's look up here. You see Satan's path, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. We're talking about the pathway of darkness. That's what brought darkness upon this earth. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14 says, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning. The word there is Hallel. Hallel. And the Latin Vulgate, it translates into Lucifer. The name Luke today, if you name a child Luke, his full name is Lucifer. Now, Lucifer is not a bad name. It means light carrier. But Lucifer was a fallen angel that became Satan and the devil. This fallen angel, let's find out what he did and what happened to the earth. God didn't create it formless and void. We know that. The Bible tells us he did not create it formless and void. The Jewish Publication Society Bible says that in the beginning, God began to create the heavens and the earth. That's not what the Hebrew says. In the beginning, in one of the beginnings, he had created the heavens and the earth, and then the heavens and the earth became destruction. Then we have the reconstruction of the earth. Now let's find out how they got destroyed. O star of the morning, O Lucifer, son of the dawn, you have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations. What nations is he talking about here? Out here where we live in Fish Lake Valley, we have a lot. We have a petrified forest down there. We have all kinds of things around here that tells of destruction at one time. We have bones of animals, prehistoric animals. That means before history as we know it, prehistoric animal. We have some of the largest giant redwoods and sequoias out here that are petrified in the world that's ever been found. We have petrified forests out there. We have all kinds of things. What nations did he destroy? The Bible talks about the nations of the birds, the nations of the fish, the nations of the carnivores, the nations of the elephants, the nations of the lions, the nations of the cattle. All of these nations were destroyed. Okay? But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, and I will raise my throne above the stars of God. The word stars of God means all the other angels. We have to realize that there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there's man that is soul, and he is spirit, and he is body, okay? Or the body should be down here with the Son, and the spirit here. And we have angels over the physical realm, the spiritual realm, and over the intellectual realm. We have Michael, we have Gabriel, and we have Lucifer. Lucifer is over the material realm. Gabriel is over the informational realm, the intellectual realm, and Michael is over the spiritual realm. Now, Michael evidently is a very powerful angelic force, or an angel. He is an angel. Now, let's go see what it says here about Lucifer. O star of the morning, son of the dawn, you have been cut down to earth, you have weakened the nations, and you said in your heart, I will ascend up to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God of all the other angels, and I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses north. Now, it also tells us here that heaven is north, and out into the third heaven, there are three heavens. There are a triune God, we have a triune man, we have a triune group of angels, we have a tri-earth. The earth that was, the earth that is, and the earth that shall become over here. The new heavens and the new earth. We have three earths. We have trinity of man, we have trinity of God, we have trinity of angels. And animals are all trinities. They have souls, they have body, and they have spirits in them. Souls is that thing in every creature that's created. And the Bible says that all animals, all living forms have nephesh, that's soul. They have spirit, that's ruah. They have bodies, that's basar or sarx. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High God. The Most High there is talking about God. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit, and those who gaze at you, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? That made the earth to tremble? Who shook kingdoms? Has Satan shaken kingdoms since, even in this period of time that we live in today, in space and time? Has he shaken kingdoms? He sure has. Who made the world like a what? Tohu wabohu, like a wilderness, and overthrew its cities, and did not allow its prisoners to go home. Spirits, fallen angels. In every realm, in the spiritual realm, in the physical realm, and in the material or in the intellectual realm, there are spirits and angels. One third of the spiritual forces fell and went with Satan. I think that, and many theologians think, that one third of each of these realms went with Satan. One third of them. So there we have it. Now let's go to Ezekiel 28, that is. We looked at Isaiah 14. Ezekiel 28, the word of the Lord came again to me saying, Son of man, say to the leader of Tyre. All right? The leader of Tyre. Now, here we have a double prophecy. We're talking about the leader of Tyre, but this leader of Tyre also is Satan. Behind every nation in the world is an angel. It's spiritual, demonic, and angelic forces behind every one. Now, let's go all the way down to verse number 11. Because of verse 1, let's finish. Verse 2, let's finish it. Because your heart is lifted up, and you said that I am a supernatural being. I am a God. And said in the seat of the gods, in the heart of the seed, you are a man not like God, although your heart is like the heart of God. Now let's go over here, verse number 11. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up the lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus saith the Lord God, this is Jehovah Elohim now, You have had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect, and beauty. God has never created anything in imperfection. He is not capable of creating anything that is imperfection because of His person. He does not create evil. God does not damn people by what we call sovereignty. Every person has a volition in them. All the angelic forces have volition. All the spiritual forces have volition. He did not create them to be evil. He created them with the ability to become bad, but He created them good. You had the seal of perfection on you. Satan, Lucifer, was perfect when he was created. Full of wisdom, perfect, and beauty. You were in Eden in the garden of God. Now the same king of Tyre was not in Eden, the garden of God. Eden means a pleasure palace. It means a dainties. Eden was the throne room of Lucifer at one time. And Eden became the throne room of Adam in space and time. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and jasper, the lapis, the lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, the gold, and the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you on the day that you were created. They were prepared. Now I want to tell you a little story. Muhammad, which was the founder of Islam, and it used to be called Muhammadism because he was a creator of it. Muhammad said that he was visited by an angel, and he called him Gabriel, and he also called him the Holy Spirit. Now he also, when he was in Mecca one time, asleep on his bed in his sister's house, he said that he was awakened by a being, Gabriel, and that he met this Barak, this horse man, had a head of a man and the body of a horse, or a donkey or a mule. And it had all of the coverings on it that is described right here as the coverings of Lucifer. Do you think Lucifer can create false religions? And what he creates is always destruction. Catholicism was a false religion. Catholicism killed people. Between 150 to 100 million Christians died by the hands of Catholicism. And we find out that about 270 million people have been killed by Islam. Satan is the father of destruction and death and violence. And this is the description of Satan here, and this is the description of that thing that Muhammad rode up to seven heavens, he said. Now, his sister told him, don't tell people that you left here. This was called his night journey. He journeyed from Mecca to Jerusalem on this animal. And then he journeyed from Jerusalem after God set all the prophets and accusing Jesus to bow down to him and for Muhammad to teach him how to pray. He ascended into the heavens where there was a keeper in each one. And this animal is the one that took him there. Do you think he could have been confused? Now, everybody in Muhammad's family said he was in that bed. He never left that bed. In his mind, could in false religions and demonic religions, can people go through space and time and travel? They say they do. Could he have done that? Many of the Islamic scholars say, well, he didn't really travel there, but his spirit and soul went there. Was he on a spirit journey with Satan as his guide? You were the anointed cherub. A cherub is a group of angels, is a order of angels, we might say. A cherub is. Cherubs have wings. Those two cherubs that stood over the Ark of the Covenant, could they be Michael and could they represent Gabriel? Well, Lucifer's not there. But could those cherubs represent Michael and Gabriel? We know that Michael is called an archangel. That's a head angel, the arche. That's what we have that's Rosh and arche in Greek. Rosh in Hebrew, arche in Greek. You are the anointed. You are the chosen cherub who covers. And I placed you there. You were the holy mountain of God. You were in the holy government of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire in the throne of God. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created. God does not create evil. He creates perfection. He creates good. Lucifer was good on the day that he was created. But now find out, until unrighteousness was found in you by the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned, and therefore I have cast you down as profane from the mountain of God. I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. Look at that. O covering cherub. From the midst of the stones of fire, you have been removed. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor, and I cast you down to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. And that's what happened in the world. We look, and we look back at what happened here in eternity past. This is what happened in eternity past. Then what happened now? God reconstructed the earth, and we have those 6 days where God reconstructed the world. And the word yom is day, 24-hour day. A lot of people say, well, it was aeons. Each one of these were thousands, millions of years that God caused the earth to evolve. That's what it says in the book of Genesis. He restored the earth in 6 days. And on the sixth day, he created man. And there's where they have the number 6 in the Bible, the number for man. Now, God uses 6. We know that 666 in the book of Revelation is the number of the Antichrist. Man, man, man. The trinity of man and the trinity of evil. Now, God here, in Genesis 1:26 through 28, let's look at that. Genesis 1:26 through 28. God begins to create or to restore in perfect order the heavens and the earth. Verse number 24, then God said, Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, the cattle and creeping things and the beasts of the earth after their kind, and it became so. Every time it says was in the Hebrew, in your translation, put the word became in there. That's the word Hayah. The word Jehovah comes from the word Hayah, which means the he who shall become. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the earth after its kind. And God saw that it became good. It became good. Then God said, let us make man in our shadow-casting image. That's our spiritual image. And according to our blood-flowing likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea. So God made man in his spiritual likeness and his physical likeness of the Son of God, the pre-incarnate Christ. And then he says, let them have sovereignty. Let them be sovereign. Let them make their own choices, even no matter how dangerous that choice is. Let them make it. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God says, create and rule. Take care of and rule. Be the administrators of God's kingdom. God, what God did is he actually put Adam in the throne room of Eden again. He's in Eden. He's his palace. And he says here, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Subdue it. Then God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed it on the surface of the earth, and every tree which is fruit, yielding seed, it shall be for your food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves upon the earth, everything that has life. And I have given every green plant for food, and it became so. It became so. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It became very good. And there became evening, and there became morning, the sixth day. It says here that God had created man and woman in the same body. Now it says here in Genesis, the second chapter, it said, and man gave the names of all the cattle and all to the birds and sky, and verse 20, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper, what it calls here, corresponding to him, equal to him. All of these things were made a little less than man, because man was created exactly in the image of God. So the Lord God, Jehovah-Abraham, caused a deep hypnotic trance to fall upon the man. And he slept, and he took out of his sides, plural, it says out of his sides in Hebrew, out of his sides, and closed up the fleshes instead of her, is what it literally said. And the Lord God fashioned the woman from the sides which he had taken from the man. Now, he took from man, he took blood, and flesh, and bone. And brought her to the man, and the man said, this is now bone of my bones and fleshes of my fleshes, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Isha is the Hebrew word. Ish is man, isha, out of man is woman. For this cause the man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall cling intensely to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Now what was the man supposed to do? He's not supposed to eat. All right, we'll find out that he's not supposed to eat of anything. He gave him everything. 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent, the Nahash, was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He became again. He wasn't that way. God didn't make him that way, but he became that way. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, from the tree of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from that tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it and touch it, or lest you die. You begin the process of dying. The serpent said to the woman, surely you shall not die. God is a liar, you're not going to die. For God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like gods, knowing good and evil. Now here we have the prohibited act. God gave them everything in this world, and they were rulers over every animal. And by the way, animals were companions. They weren't food. Animals were not food. They're companions. And then the woman takes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and she keeps on eating. In Hebrew, it says she keeps on eating. And then the man comes along, Adam, and she gives to him, and he keeps on eating. And they ate the tree till it was all gone. Bark, hide, roots and all, as far as I can tell. In Hebrew, it says they kept on eating the thing, and evidently they ate it until it was all gone. They stole God's stuff. Now, God would have taught them anything that they needed to know forever, period. But here we have man and woman sinning willfully, and now they have separated themselves from God. Separated themselves from God. Do good and do not eat. And they ate. And now we have the curse and death, 3:7 through 19. And that's where we're going to end. 3:7 through 19. And the eyes of both of them became opened. And they knew that they were naked. Literally, they became naked. They became arum. They became wicked. They became thieves. They became liars. They became wicked people. Perverted and twisted. And they sewed fig leaves together, man-made religion. Only one thing can cover you, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way of salvation. They sewed fig leaves, and if any of you ever had fig leaves, they are really sting you. They're pitiful. My first job that I ever got out away from home, besides picking cotton and working in wrecking yards and washing cars and trailers, was to go out and pick figs in a fig orchard. And it was not fun. My hands were blistered, and those leaves stung me all over my arms and all over my being. And it was miserable, and that sticky stuff, I haven't liked figs to this day. But now they're taking this noxious plant, so to speak, and made for themselves loin breeches, is what it says, private covers, underwear for their bottom end. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they, the man and his wife, hid themselves from the presence of the Jehovah Elohim among the trees. And the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you? Where are you today? Do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior?" Adam didn't at this time. He had become separated. You come to the age of accountability, and that's when you realize that you're a sinner and that you're undone before God. And that's when you need to be saved. God covers little children with His blood. If they die before the age of accountability, they get to go with Him. But now, once you come to the age of accountability, you need to know the Lord. You need to know the Lord. And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I became afraid." Never was afraid before. "Because I became naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you became naked?" Now remember, all this were and was and all of this is became. They became naked when they touched that fruit, when they ate of it. But they didn't only touch it and ate it, they kept on eating it and eating and eating and eating and eating. While consecutive and perfect. From the tree of which I commanded you not to eat. And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God, Jehovah Him, said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "We nahashishi ani." It says, "The serpent, he deceived me, and I kept on eating." And the Lord God said to the serpent, he's addressing the serpent now. Now, who's in the serpent? The spirit of Satan, of Lucifer, is in the serpent now, the Nahash. "Because you have done this, cursed you are more than all the cattle." Now, that's the body of that serpent. The serpent, these snakes are still crawling on her belly right now. The curse is still there. "More than every beast of the field, and on your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat for all the days of your life. And I will put," this is the most beautiful verse in the Bible right here, if you had one, beside John 3:16, this is it. "And I will put active hatred between you and the woman, and between your seed," which is Antichrist, "and her seed," which is Jesus Christ, "and he shall bruise you to the head, and you shall bruise him to the heel." Now, John 3:16. Let's go over to John 3:16. "For God so loved the cosmos that He's going to redeem it back to Himself." That God is going to redeem it back. "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son," and the only way to redeem the world, the universe, and mankind, and the seed of mankind back to Himself is through the merits of Jesus Christ. Through the merits of Jesus Christ. Go back into Genesis chapter 6 now for just a moment. Genesis 6. We're going to find out why the flood became. Genesis 6. "Now it came about when men began to multiply on the faces of the land, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God," and this term is always used of angels. Now in the book of Enoch, it tells you exactly what happened here. I don't know how much of the book of Enoch is inspired, but the ancient Jews believed in it. They believed that actually the seventh man from Adam wrote it. And he talks about the sons of God and named them that actually came down and cohabited with women upon the earth. And the sons of God, the angels, saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took for themselves, they kept on taking for themselves whomever they chose. And the Lord God said, "My spirit shall not always strive for man forever, because he is flesh, and nonetheless his day shall be 120 years. Now, mankind is not going to live to be 120 years old. That's not the story. Man can live, be 70. That's 70 years. But man would have 120 more years to repent, because God has already sent Enoch, and he preached for 300 years that the world was coming then. He named his son Methuselah. When he is dead, it shall come to pass. Methuselah. And now we find out what's going on here, why God destroyed. And the Nephilim, the fallen ones, were on the earth in those days and afterward. And the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. And they became the mighty men of old. Goliath. Og, Goliath's father, Goliath's four brothers were Nephilim. What the Bible tells us, the Nephilim are a combination of angels and men, mankind. As far as we find out, they're nearly always men. We don't have any history of female Nephilim. Now, in this place, not 20 miles from here, around 1985, I saw something that I didn't know what I saw at the time, except that it was a Bigfoot. And I found out later on through research that some of the Bigfoot have six fingers and toes. Now, Goliath and all of his family and father had six fingers and toes. That just clicked a light over my head. Maybe this is what they are. Now, these Nephilim, as far as I can tell, just don't die. They're killed sometimes, and they have to have supernatural force to even kill them. David killed a Nephilim, Goliath. And then they went after his five of them in all. David took five stones when he went out there to slay Goliath because he's going to slay them all. One of those Nephilim is going to be the son of Satan in the last days. The Bible calls him the Antichrist. The Bible talks about a false prophet. And the Bible talks about a beast that shall come in the end days. Just before the rapture over here. Just before the rapture. They're going to come in these days. Well, right after the rapture, that is. They're going to be on earth when the rapture comes about. Because right here, the Antichrist, the son of Satan, the real son of Satan, Genesis 6 chapter, the real son of Satan is going to be on earth, and he's going to rule the earth for a while. Maybe not all of it, but he'll rule a great portion of it. The world will run after him because of his great power. The Islamic Empire talks about a Mahdi, Iman, that's going to come, the 12th Iman, that is going to be a direct descendant of Muhammad through Fatima, his daughter. He's going to have the spirit of Muhammad in him. Literally, Muhammad will live again in this Mahdi. And at 20, 40 years old, he will be a reluctant leader, and many people will swear allegiance to him, and he will come out of Damascus someplace. And then there will be a beast that comes out of Mecca, according to Islam, that will come and mark all of the true believers of Islam. The Bible talks about the Antichrist coming, that he's going to rule for 7 years, and Islam says that the Mahdi's going to rule for 7 years. The Bible says that Jesus is going to come back and rapture his people, and that Jesus will protect Israel for all of this 7 years, especially in this last period of time. And therefore we have the Battle of Armageddon fall. Everybody always talks about the Battle of Armageddon. The Bible says there will be a beast, false prophet, and the Antichrist, an unholy trinity. Islam said there will be a beast, there will be the Mahdi, and there will be Isa, their Jesus. Their Jesus is going to come back and kill all the Jews first. Then he's going to kill all the Christians, and he's going to bring in the reign of his. The Mahdi will reign for 7 years, and then Jesus will reign for 40 years. And we'll have continual warfare until, this is what Islam says, until they bring the whole world under Islam. There will be no peace until all religions are conquered and only Islam stands. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." No true religion ever kills people. No true religion ever kills people. No true religion ever forces conversion. And the Islam said, we don't force conversion. History is against that. History is totally against that. "For God so loved the world that he gave freely his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but ever have everlasting life." They will have it. Once you've been born again, you have everlasting life from that time on. When you repent of your sins and call upon the Lord to take over your life, you have eternal life. And you're going to be with God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that this message goes out all over the world and touches lives. Some to serve you and some to give their lives to you. Forgive us for your failure. Forgive me, your servant, a of my sins and shortcomings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.